always puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We return now to our series, Abandoned Manitoba. It's our look at Manitoba's past through the lens of not restored or preserved heritage buildings, but of abandoned buildings left behind to decay. Our guide for the series is Gordon Goldsborough, who's the chair of the Historic Preservation Committee of the Manitoba Historical Society. And Gordon's back. Hello.
Good morning, Terry.
Now, last week you told us about fresh air camps that were situated up in the Interlake in the early part of the 20th century for kids from the city to come out and get a breath of fresh air. But you hinted at a very different kind of a camp for today's piece. What kind of a camp are you talking about?
That's right. I thought we would talk today about a military camp near Dauphin.
And what now? Tell us more about this camp near Dauphin.
Well, when people hear the phrase the Commonwealth Air Training Plan, they probably think of the Second World War because a lot of the air crew, the pilots, the navigators, the gunners for the Commonwealth, not just Canada, but Australia, New Zealand, the British Isles, were trained here in Western Canada.
In the aerodrome of democracy, I think, as Winston Churchill put it once.
That's right. And there were sites all over. The one that people may think of is the one at Brandon,
yes,
a very nicely preserved facility.
And there's the museum there.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. But there actually are quite a few other sites around the province where training took place. And there's one in particular east of Dauphin that I had an opportunity to visit not long ago.
And what's there?
It's the site of what was called the Number 7 Bombing and Gunnery School.
What went on at the school?
Well, as the name suggests, they were specifically training people to do bombing and gunnery. And I gather the reason they chose that particular site is it was close to Dauphin Lake. It was a place where I guess they could bomb and there wouldn't be any destruction as a result. It was simply a base. It was about 8 miles almost straight east of Dauphin on about 640 acres of land. They basically constructed over just a few months a full-fledged Air Force base.
And what remains there now?
Well, it's actually quite remarkable. I've been to a few of these Commonwealth Air Training Plan sites, and oftentimes you are hard-pressed to see anything left because they've been very diligent at removing all traces. But in this particular case, it's remarkably intact. The buildings are mostly gone. There were at one time apparently as many as 50 buildings, but there's only one building left. But there are nevertheless dramatic remains that you can still see. So, for example, there were 6 very large hangars where they would store the aircraft. The pads, the concrete floors for all of those are still there. There's the taxi field that they would bring the aircraft out on. And there's even the 3 runways. The runways are in a sort of a triangular configuration. And the interesting thing about them, because they were paved, you know, they were concrete or tarmac, the cracks that they developed, the vegetation grew through those cracks. There actually is a triangular forest that is actually occupying where the runways used to be. If you get up in the air a little bit, you can actually see just how dramatically large this site was. And I had an opportunity to see quite a bit of it, thanks to the fellow who owns the site now, a fellow by the name of Richard Kucher. And he was very generous in touring me around that site, and I saw quite a lot about the remains of that facility.
What's Mr. Kucher doing with the site?
Well, he owns the property. He has a farm on the site, and I gather it goes back to his father's time. His father actually bought the land after the base was decommissioned by the Royal Canadian Air Force back just after at the end of the Second World War. He bought it as a farm, and gradually, I guess, the buildings were torn down or moved away. The only building that's left now is the old officer's mess. And there's a few other remnants. There's a sort of a gunnery range. There's a sewage treatment plant. There's some water tanks. But the only way you can really see it is to get up in the air, and you can really see the sort of the scope of this very large base.
If that was a bombing school, does that mean that in the bottom of Lake Dauphin there may well be shells?
There may well be. I suspect, though, they were using dummies. They were ones that probably were non-explosive.
Yeah.
They were, I think, probably training to hit the target rather than actually hit it with something explosive.
What do you know about how many people occupied the site during its heyday?
Well, I'm told that the staff, the basic training staff, was about 150 to 200 people, but that wouldn't take into account the support staff. It probably was a major employer for the Dauphin area. A lot of civilians would have probably been employed there too. And then, of course, that also doesn't take into account the number of people that were being trained there from all over the Commonwealth. They began training almost immediately after the facility facility began opening in 1941. It didn't close until 1945, so it operated for basically about 3.5 years. Probably hundreds of air crew went through that facility over the course of its lifespan.
What other kinds of buildings were on the site?
Well, it was a full-fledged facility. I mean, basically people lived there, and so they had to have all the facilities they required. So there was a 10-bed hospital, for example. There was a dental clinic, garages, workshops, barracks, of course. Everybody had to have some place to sleep. They had mess halls. They had recreation halls. It was literally a small city right there in near the lake.
And, of course, they didn't know how long the war was going to last, so they built it to last, this facility. Right?
See, indeed, many of these buildings, I've been traveling around the province and I still can find these buildings that were built often, say, for temporary purposes, are all over the place, being used as workshops, being used as residences. They were intended to be temporary, but here it is, say, 60-odd years later, and they're still, you know, being used.
So they built it, though, for just 4 years of use, as it turned out.
Interestingly enough, and, you know, of course, they built it to last despite that, because there's still now, 60-odd years later, it's still conspicuously, you know, the runways, the taxi fields, the roads, there are fire hydrants sticking out of the grass, there are manholes, the parade grounds you can still see. It's just remarkable how much is still visible this far after the fact.
Where are you planning to take us next week?
Well, I think, as we all know, a good soldier is worth his salt. And I think we're going to look at a little bit more about the history of salt in Manitoba.
There was a salt mine at one point?
Well, in a manner of speaking.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, look forward to that. Gordon, thank you, as always.
You're welcome.
Gordon Goldsborough, he is the chair of the Historic Preservation Committee of the Manitoba Historical Society. In fact, he is the only person who runs the Historic Preservation Committee at the Manitoba Historical Society. If you want to know more about Dauphin Camp Number 7 of the British Commonwealth Air Training Plan, we posted a link on our Facebook page, or you can head to the Manitoba History page as well. And Gordon's posting the audio for all of our conversations on the Manitoba Historical Society page, and it's called Abandoned Manitoba.